My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Iceland's women's strike turns up the heat in the battle for equal pay. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning, and thanks for joining us. Iceland is generally regarded as being a poster child for gender equality. In fact, it has topped the World Economic Forum's Gender Gap Index 14 years in a row. But today the country is going to have one of its biggest gender pay protests in almost 50 years with a full day women's strike. Lilja Dag-Alfreðsdóttir, the Minister for Tourism, Trade and Culture in the Icelandic government, is also taking part, and she believes the day will have a lasting impact on the next generation.
We celebrate this day because this is a day that women's rights are celebrated worldwide. And in 1975 was the first strike, or it was called then the day off, where about 90%, 90 of all women, they decided to stop working in order to emphasize the importance that they have in the labor force. And one of the aims of these actions is also the awareness of the different position that men and women often have at the household. So just the discussion will improve matters in many places. And for instance, I have a daughter who is 14 years old. She will not attend any classes where women are teaching her. I have a son who's 16 years old. You wouldn't have this discussion unless these actions were taken. And I can also tell you that the wage gap in Iceland is probably one of the smallest.
That was Lilja Dag-Alfreðsdóttir, the Minister for Tourism, Trade and Culture in the Icelandic government. Now, let's do the numbers. The price of Bitcoin is up over 3% as investors get excited over media reports about a potential Bitcoin exchange traded fund being set up. Asian stocks, they're mixed. China's CSI 300 closed up 0.3%, and in Europe, the region-wide Stock 600 is flat. Now, an economic working group between the US and China met for the first time today via video link, according to China's finance ministry. It's hoped these meetings might make relations between the world's two largest economies more constructive. I asked the BBC's business correspondent in Singapore, Katie Silver, what came out of today.
It's been about trying to improve the dialogue between the two countries. So it was first conceived of or mentioned in the middle of the year, agreed upon by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and her Chinese counterpart. And then now is the first time that it's been held. What we understand is that it was a two-hour meeting. Beijing said the two sides had an in-depth, candid and constructive discussion. The US made similar remarks. We're expecting the financial meeting is going to be held tomorrow. We also understand that both sides raised what they called areas of concerns, but they didn't elaborate exactly what these areas are.
And as we know, relations between the US and China haven't been so great lately. Did they address this? Did they address any trade-related issues?
Well, very little has emerged so far about this meeting. As I say, 2 hours, areas of concern raised, unclear what those areas are. But you're right, the relationship between the two is very fraught. And there's a number of issues from Taiwan, the origins of COVID, allegations of spying, human rights issues, trade tariffs, semiconductors, you name it. It does seem that the relationship between the world's two largest economies has been very fractured, very bitter for quite some time now. And as a result of this, we heard as well, for example, from the investment management giant BlackRock, it said that the US-China tensions were actually the top geopolitical risk facing markets at the moment, and that any kind of steps towards improvements have been pretty fragile.
The BBC's Katie Silver for us in Singapore. Thanks so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thanks, Leanna.
You might know llamas and alpacas, but have you heard of vicunas? Their wool is one of the most expensive, with a scarf going for more than $3,000. They were once at the brink of extinction, but a redesign of the wool trade industry saved them. However, a fall in the price of wool might put it back in the risk category. The BBC's Stefania Gazer travelled to Peru to find out why.
Vicuña wool is the finest wool in the world, and that makes it one of the most expensive. Come with me to Lucanas, a small town in the Peruvian Andes. They're the only farming community with a public license to shear the vicuñas that roam across the nature reserve of Pampa Galeras, home to the largest population of vicuñas. I visited their president, Aldo Espinosa.
Thanks to vicuña wool, our community can pay park rangers and other workers. The price of the fiber goes down every year, but production costs increase. Communities that shear vicuñas are not profiting from the sale of the fiber. What could we do? Create added value. But it's not easy, because we'd need machines to process the fiber, to remove the pilling and to spin the wool. We can't do that because machines are extremely expensive, so we have no other option than to keep selling and to try to survive with whatever we can get from that.
The community once received $520 for each kilo of vicuña fiber. That price has fallen to $280. The falling price of vicuña fiber is a concern for farming communities. The ceremony of the Chaku, where hundreds of villagers gather to circle and shear vicuñas, is also used by vets to control the health of the animal. Here's Santiago Paredes, the head of the Pampa Galeras National Reserve.
Shaved vicuña is like a saved vicuña, because if we shave a vicuña, this vicuña is not important for the hunter to kill.
If the price keeps going down, do you think that there will come the day when people from Lucanas won't want to participate in the chaco anymore because it's not profitable?
Yes, that happens in the last 2 years.
That was the BBC's Stefania Gazer with that report. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.